Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is John Ball, who's managing director with Stifel Nicolaus. John, how you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Kemp.
Second quarter's been over for a little while. We're halfway through the third quarter. But still, let's just go back and review those publicly traded companies in the flooring business, starting with Mohawk. Obviously, their result, their revenue was up 34.5%. But at the same time, you've got to say they acquired Marazzi. You would expect their numbers to be up. Help us to understand some of that.
Sure. There's a lot of acquisition influence in their revenue. That having been said, I think the key out of the second quarter for Mohawk was really the first evidence of a quarter I can remember since the debacle began, really, in August of 06, where you could say their residential retail, the repair remodel market, was up appreciably, both in volume and in mix. We've obviously seen the builder side of the business turn a little bit earlier, but that tends to be a little lower margin. But I think the second quarter was noteworthy for the positive turn that we saw, not just affecting their hard surface categories, but also carpet. And, of course, the silk products have played a nice role in the mix. So what I was encouraged to hear was that we've finally seen the consumer starting to spend money on floor covering, not just the builder side of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned silk. You know, they do have a product that's in the mix there that nobody else has, which is nice, especially when you think about carpet and how long carpet's been around. For them to have a fiber type and a product that they don't have to compete head-to-head with is going to be good for them, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're well aware, of course, what's happening in the low end of the polyester business. You know, we've seen the compression of price points in the recession with nylon coming down. So, yeah, it's really important to have a story to tell and a product we can sell that has some margin in it. You know, there's increased competition for soft-type products from other manufacturers, not with the exact same yarn, obviously. But it's exciting. It's much needed. As I said, it's been essentially a six-year-plus dry spell, and it's critical as Mohawk does more remodel repair business than builder business. It's critical for their business that we see that in market turn.
Yeah. You know, and their stock is up, I think over the last 12 months, it's up 80%. So that's pretty good performance.
Yeah, we've seen all the building products companies, frankly, do well. What's interesting is in the last couple of months, probably due to all the talk of Fed tapering on the quantitative easing, we've seen some of the home building stocks weaken.
Right.
And yet we really haven't seen that with Mohawk. And I think, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that, but Mohawk should be less sensitive to overall residential construction and more sensitive to what we hope will be a multi-year recovery in consumer spending as home prices go up and homes are turned over. So far, there hasn't been a material change in home changeover activity given the recent mortgage shift, but we're going to have to watch that closely.
All right, let's move to Armstrong World Industries. They used their conference call to announce that they were going to spend $40 million on a new LVT plant. Well, that's pretty good news. I guess they're feeling good about where things are headed.
Well, LVT is certainly one of the bright spots in the flooring industry in the last couple of years. There haven't been many, so there's a lot of growth and demand for that product. Making it in-house will save them money versus their current sourcing strategy. I think the disappointment for Armstrong has been, while we've seen that wood business rebound, and we talked about how the builder side has recovered faster so far than the repair remodel market, they have not been able to translate that higher volume into higher profits. In fact, their margins are under pressure due to both escalating wood costs and a lag in getting price relief from that, and a lot of impact from trying to ramp back up so quickly to meet the demand, adding employees, adding shifts, some inefficiencies that result. So been some constraint on finding raw material. That means they've had to bring in some pre-dried lumber outside, which is more expensive. There is pricing relief coming, but it's been a frankly tough first half for Armstrong on the residential and commercial flooring side of the world, although the demand is picking up, and that's certainly encouraging as we look to out quarters.
Yeah, and you know, just one more comment about buying pre-dried lumber. Drying lumber for one application and for another is totally different. So not only is it more expensive, but you sometimes can run into issues with pre-dried lumber that's not done for that application.
Lumber is a fickle species. You have to handle it very carefully or things can develop down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of the problems. You really don't know you have a problem until it's in the field 6 to 12 months later if it was not dried properly. So it's not only, as you say, a higher cost, but it's a much better process to control it internally to the exact specs than buying outside.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Interface. They had some positive numbers, up 6% on a year-over-year basis.
Yeah. Certainly seeing some strength in the U.S. marketplace, which is encouraging. I think we still have the tile versus broadloom shift going on, and that's helping. But we're seeing some lift in the corporate market, which is important for Interface. They've struggled still in Europe. That side of the pond is a little soft. And, of course, they suffered that that fire in Australia, which made them outsource from their plants in Asia, and that's been a challenge. They're close to coming online with a new facility there towards the end of this year, so we look forward to that. But all in all, a decent demand environment. We were more nervous, I think, about some of the public sectors like government, education, and they're knocking down some decent numbers in a very difficult macro environment in those segments. So pretty pleased with their overall demand picture.
Well, so, you know, one this little quick question. I know you also follow Lumber Liquidators, and it just appears that they were being picked on or there were some issues being brought about that was causing a little mess around formaldehyde. Is all that behind them now?
There was an outfit called Seeking Alpha.
Yeah.
It's a Wall Street. I'm not sure exactly how they're organized, but there was an article written by an investor who I'm sure was short the stock. Purported that they found a box of imported laminate flooring that had high formaldehyde content in it. As far as I can tell, it's a lot ado about nothing.
Okay.
I think that issue is behind them. Certainly it would have mushroomed for me once it was disclosed had there been a deeper issue.
Yeah, okay, interesting. All right, so we are in the middle of this third quarter, and we know that Labor Day is going to be behind us here. Washington's going to come back to work. There's going to be more of this partisan bickering going on around debt ceiling and around solutions for that, the national debt. They're talking about the tapering of this quantitative easing. What effect, if any, do you think that's going to have on third and fourth quarter results?
I think the good news for the flooring trade is that the consumer seems to be voting, and you can see it in the numbers that are coming out. Disappointing for people like Abercrombie and Fitch and Macy's, certainly the low-end consumer, Walmart, Target, you see those retailers complaining. Yet you look at the results out of a Home Depot or a Lowe's, you look at the results coming from appliance manufacturers, big ticket consumer durables related to the home, and there's a noticeable improvement. So the good news is that it appears like consumers who have clearly underspent in categories like flooring are beginning to spend, whether that's because the home's appreciating in value or they're just tired of living with what they had. It's hard to tell, but so we are winning that share of dollar. As it relates to what's going on in Washington, though, I don't want to say the public ignores that, but we've sort of been through this before. One would like to think, unless there's a catastrophic shutdown, all the bickering and all the talk really won't impact. I think the bigger issue that I'm focused on is whether or not the recent spike in mortgage rates will slow down materially the housing strength we've seen, whether it's turnover or home price appreciation. The move we've seen in mortgage rates for about 110 basis points higher, combined with the price appreciation of homes, makes a housing affordability index number a lot more challenging than, you know, say a couple of years ago when it was obviously a very attractive time to buy homes with prices down and mortgage financing costs down. So even though by historical standards mortgage rates are low on an absolute basis, they've moved up essentially a third here in the last couple of months. So that's something that I'm really more worried about in terms of potentially slowing that piece of the housing market down, which, of course, is, I think, the catalyst for why we're seeing some strength in flooring right now.
Yeah. Okay, John. And again, we've been talking to John Ball, who's Managing Director with Stifel Nicolaus, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaDaily.net.